Stoneman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5 The Game, live today from Social Furniture in West Nashville. You've got less than 1 hour to get out here and register to win a pair of tickets for Game 3 and a pair of tickets for Game 4, plus their super awesome recliner that they'll be giving away Memorial Day weekend. You have until Memorial Day weekend to register for that, but you have until 6 o'clock to come out here and register to win a pair of tickets for Game number 3 and for Game number 4. So I'd say get on out here and do it. Again, their Memorial Day sale, delivery the next day and set up with whatever is available in stock. And we have been looking at all this furniture right here. I have the perfect queen love seat that I'm going to ship right over to Caroline's house.
Oh, thank you so much. Just, I could use it.
Just for you.
Still decorating.
Interest-free financing, no credit check, no money down. And again, come on out and register to win those Preds tickets. So last night, the Predators fell 3-0 to the Carolina Hurricanes. And if you were like us and you had the Predators plus 1.5, that second and third goal, really.
But the empty netter doesn't count, right?
That's not how that
Sports
works.
Sports betting doesn't count that.
That's not how that works. But it is time now for three up, three down. Three things we liked from yesterday's game and three things we did not like. And as always, we start with the three things that we liked.
Number one.
UC Soros. I don't know how there could be anything other than UC Soros as the number one thing that I liked in this game. And the reason being is where I have a hard time, and I even told Crispy this when he was on the show last hour, was I struggle with the idea of, hey, we played well. We thought that we could have won. We felt like, and I struggle with that because it very easily could have been 3-0 or 4-0 after the first period. And if that's the case, nobody is ever going to argue with, hey, we played well. We played well. You're never going to hear that if you end up giving up those goals. There were plays on the power play that the Predators gave up. Two-on-ones, breakaways, three-on-ones, and UC Soros just absolutely was fantastic last night. I know he let that third one kind of slip in, but the game was already over anyways. He was fantastic, and he was the number one reason that the Predators had a chance to tie that game at the end. I just thought Soros was fantastic last night. Without a doubt, it's too easy for me to say this, but yes, UC Soros is the number one thing I liked about yesterday's game.
Number two.
Alex Carrier and Matt Benning. I thought both guys played really well, especially Carrier. You know, as you know, I get on Ryan Ellis a lot. And I see Ryan Ellis on that top pair, and I see Ryan Ellis get moved away. And last night, I thought Alexander Carrier won a bunch of puck battles. I think he moved the puck out of the defensive zones a lot. I don't think at any point I felt like he was doing too much or was overexposed or anything like that. I thought Roman Josi had a great game, which we knew Roman Josi was probably going to bounce back after that poor performance in Game 2. I thought Carrier was fantastic. I thought Benning was fantastic. I mean, to be honest with you, and I never really liked Benning this season. They acquired him to be on the third pair, and I figured, well, as long as he's better than Matt Irwin and Yannick Weber, I won't be too concerned. Early on, he and Jared Tenorti played together on that third pair, and they really struggled. And I didn't think Benning was much of anything. I thought Benning had a good game last night. Good Branson? Not so much. Benning? I thought Benning played a good game last night. They need those defensemen. I mean, really, they need their top four guys, Josi, Ellis, Ekholm, and Carrier. They need to put Fabbro back in there, and they need Fabbro to start playing like they used to believe in Fabbro. But I thought Benning and Carrier last night were a bright spot, and so I put them as the second thing that I liked.
Number three.
They pushed back after a really rough first period. And I went back and watched it because I looked at the stats from the first period. And these are unofficial stats. But I looked at the stats from the first period. And Carolina out-hit the Predators 20-16. Carolina had more shot attempts, 18-17. They were tied at shots with 10. And then I realized the reason that is because I felt like Carolina absolutely dominated the first period last night. I thought Carolina very easily could have made it a 3 or 4-0 game after
if
one
not
period.
For UC Soros.
If not for Soros.
It could have been way worse after the first period.
Well, what I figured, though, was Carolina took 4 penalties. So think about this. Carolina was in the box for roughly 8 minutes of the first period, like 7 or maybe I think like 6:54 of the first period. They were in the box, and they still had more shot attempts than the Predators. That was a rough first period. I thought we were in for a really, really bad game last night. I mean, I thought we were in for a 5-1, and the only reason it's 5-1 is because they give mercy to you in the third period kind of game. But, yeah, I like the pushback after a very rough first period. I thought the Predators did push back a little bit. They couldn't establish anything in the offensive zone. They didn't get a lot of high-quality chances. They didn't really do any of the things that you need to do to be successful. But I did think they pushed back, so I liked that. That was the third thing that I liked. Now, the bad thing. The three things we didn't like.
Could you have come up with more than three?
Yes.
Me too.
Number one.
I'm going to let everybody take a guess what the number one thing I didn't like about yesterday's game was. Ian, we start with you.
Power play?
The power play is number one. That power play sucks. And there's so many things I could say about the power play, and it wouldn't do it justice to voice my frustrations about the fact that it seems like this is an issue that we have had for a long, long, long time. Caroline, you've known me now for about 3 months, mm-hmm. and you know there's about five or six things I care about. There's one thing that I just always seem to bring every story back to. You know what it is. And I will say this. The Predators' power play problems outdate that. That's how long this has been an issue for. 2019, the power play was a mess. They traded for Brian Boyle. They traded for Wayne Simmons. They traded for Mikael Granlund, all to fix the power play. It didn't work. They brought in Dan Lambert to come in and be the power play coach. It didn't work. They paid all this money to Matt Duchene. It didn't work. And they've tried everything, and they fired Peter Laviolette. And unless Elli Tolvanen turns into the Elli Tolvanen he was pre-injury, they have absolutely no weapons on the power play. I went through every power play today and literally took notes. For example, on the first power play, Trocheck's roughing penalty. Johansson tries to go in between two guys, and he doesn't even get it close to the net. Carolina clears. Tolvanen with space drags to Mikael Granlund, but Granlund wasn't ready for the pass. What's he doing? Just drives me insane. Then all of a sudden, Duchene to Ellis. He waits for a one-timer, and when you wait for a one-timer, the goalie's going to see it every time. Glove save. The power play was a mess. The best thing I can say about the power play was Elli Tolvanen had some lightning-quick passes, and then Matt Duchene double-clutched. And I just don't know if I should be mad about the power play last night, or if I should be mad about the power play right now, or if I should have all of my anger from 2019 and 2020 and 2021 now all wrapped into one little thing, knotted up in a bow with all these $8 million contracts I can't get rid of. But it's driving me insane.
I mean, and I think last night, too, and I think this entire playoff series has just been the cherry on top. And Roman Josi said last night in his postgame interview, like, yeah, the power play has been a problem for a couple years. What? It's been a problem for a few years, and you're saying, oh, you know, we need to be better, we need to play better, we need to have a better power play.
It has transcended coaches.
Yes, and that's a problem. That is a problem that it continues to be a problem for so long, and it has gotten in the way of playoff series and advancing in the playoffs and winning a Stanley Cup. Why is it still a problem? But I understand that the Predators have continued to try and fix it, getting a new coach, signing guys who can play on the power play, but the fact that it's still an issue just doesn't sit right with me.
Oh, it drives me insane. That takes us to the second thing.
Number two.
All the positive talk after the game last night. Give me a break. The guys, do we watch the same game? Apparently, we didn't watch the same game, Coach, because all this positive talk, I don't know where it's coming from. Now, I said that making the playoffs was good. I thought that was a good thing. Even though I voted to sell at the trade deadline, it's nice to make the playoffs. But I feel like the Predators keep trying to sell me this false hope about thinking they can beat the Carolina Hurricanes. So then I spend all day talking about how they can beat the Carolina Hurricanes, and then they go out there, and they clearly can't beat the Carolina Hurricanes, or at least they couldn't last night. And then I'm sitting here being told about how good the 5-on-5 was last night. Give me a freaking break. They dominated you in the first period. They didn't really do much in the second period. And in the third period, they packed it in and played defense, and they still embarrassed you. And I am just so tired of the, well, you know, we played okay. This is not Little League. This is not how I approached high school baseball when we would play teams that were better than us. When we would play teams that had like guys that were going D1 or guys that were going to get drafted, all I cared about was whether or not I got a hit. You know, because I knew we weren't going to beat that team. So, all right, let's see how I do facing Mike Minor. Let's see how I do facing Sonny Gray. Let's see how I do facing Richie Goodenow. By the way, I didn't do very good against the other guys. But, like, let's see how I do there. But, I mean, again, like, just all the positive. I thought they played pretty well. Well, okay, you go sit in the corner and let me get you a fourth place Central Division Little League trophy that you can hang up there. Because, again, this is big boy sports. This is the NHL. There is not a trophy for coming in fourth place in your division. And there is no you try to hard medals that they hand out. Not in pro sports. I'm sorry. Win or get out. So all the positivity talk. It just drove me nuts last night.
Number three.
Arvidsson. Arvidsson is awful right now. And it drives me crazy because I can't tell if Arvidsson is still hurt from whatever injury he had. I can't tell if Arvidsson is just used up and all the tread is off the tires and there's too many miles on that engine and Arvidsson is giving it all he could for 5 years and he's just done. And I can't tell if he's just too small in the playoffs, which has always been kind of a question mark about Arvidsson, if he's too small just to play in the playoffs, especially against a team this big. But he freaking stinks right now. And he's getting serious ice time. And he is a liability, both offensively and defensively. For example, after Pesci got called for holding in the second period on one of those power plays, the Predators trying to get the puck in the zone, not sure if they can. Arvidsson takes a one-timer with a guy standing right in front of him. You know, it's one thing to have a shot blocked. You're firing it towards the net. Guy gives up his body. Shot's blocked. It's another thing just to shoot it right in front of the guy in front of you because God forbid if you don't shoot it. So Arvidsson shoots it into Teravainen, who blocks it, takes it with him. Arvidsson trips him, and he still keeps going. And now all of a sudden the Carolina Hurricanes have a 3-on-1. Arvidsson is a no-factor offensively. He is a no-factor in his own end. He cannot carry the puck through the neutral zone. He's nothing on the power play. This Victor Arvidsson hustle guy that everybody fell in love with and could score 30 goals a season does not exist anymore, or at least not in the playoffs with these guys, because Arvidsson was awful last night. And I just, you know, Tolvanen's probably going to get benched for not being great last night, but nothing will happen to Arvidsson. They'll keep running Arvidsson out there.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is that I was thinking the thing that will make me so angry in game three is if Tolvanen is benched for not having a great game and Arvidsson is in the lineup. That sure would make me so frustrated, because you gave the kid one opportunity and he didn't excel and now you take him right out.
Well, it's so Joe Rexroad and I kind of got into this on Twitter yesterday before the game, which is, and this is not the exact same, but like Dante Fabbro. So if I'm Dante Fabbro and I look at the lineup and I see Eric Goodbranson's in the lineup and I'm not, I'd be furious.
Oh, of course.
Because I think I'm better than him. And I guarantee you, without knowing anything, I guarantee you Fabbro thinks he's better than Goodbranson because he is. And so I'd be really mad about that. And Joe Rexroad was like, okay, you understand. He needs to get better. He needs to. There's one thing about getting better. It's another thing of getting better than Eric Goodbranson, which he already is. And I just wonder if these lineup decisions are going to affect the Predators long-term. But that's not my business. That's theirs. Arvidsson, though, boy, he stunk last night. Stunk. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, Ryan Johansson had an interesting take yesterday after the game. A question that John Hines doesn't really want to answer. Ryan Johansson did. And I do think the players believe what he said. That's next. Stillman & Company. We're live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's Social Furniture out here in West Nashville, Charlotte Avenue. Come on out. And again, you have less than an hour, now almost 40 minutes to register for those Preds tickets for Games 3 and Game 4. So you got two chances to win. Come on out and register. Stillman & Company. We're delivered by TriStar Moving right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. By the way, we are going to be giving out something later this hour as well for you to win. So be listening for your chance to do that. Speaking of winning, tune into Robbie and Rexro tomorrow morning at 9:45 for your chance to participate in Nashville SC Pick to Click. And you can win a prize pack and a pair of tickets to an upcoming Nashville SC home game brought to you by Camarena Tequila, Stillman & Company. We're delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
What do you hang your hat on, or what do you take as a positive to get some, I guess, positive mojo going into game three?
Regarding what?
Just the way you're playing. How do you take a positive or have a positive mentality going into game three?
I think the last two questions, like, did we watch the same game? You know, I think when you look at the hockey game, we played a pretty good game. I thought their goaltender made some really good saves. We had good looks. I think you look at shot attempts, you look at shots, you look at offensive zone time, you look at how the game was played. We've got to do a better job on the power play. But I think the last two questions, you know, I think there's a lot of good things to come in the game. We're in a series. We're a better team than we were in the first night. We obviously know the power play has got to be better. But I think there's a lot of positive going out of this game and then coming home.
That was John Hines, who said there was a lot of positive, but he didn't really tell us what the positive was or what the belief was.
The 5-on-5 was better.
But he didn't really tell us that. I mean, again, he kind of told us that, but he didn't really tell us that. But it's funny because I asked Ryan Johansson a very similar question, which is, the Carolina Hurricanes have spanked the Nashville Predators on the rear end twice. Fair?
Yes.
Okay. So what can this team believe in order to get back in the series? Here's what Ryan Johansson said.
Ryan, after being down 0-2, what's the discussion in the locker room that leads you guys to believe that you can turn this around and win 4 out of the next 5?
We haven't talked at all since just the end of this game here. But, you know, I know in the back of my head, I'm excited to just get back to Bridgestone, get in front of our fans, most fans we've had in over a year. And, I'm just looking forward to that. And we know what our crowd can do to our club and the energy it can bring to us. So just excited to get home and play in front of our fans.
Do you buy that they are banking on the fans? Because I do. Like, I know this is crazy. I don't necessarily believe in the home ice advantage as much as everybody else. I think Robbie Stanley told me or said on the air the other day, he was like, I think I've been covering hockey long enough to say, these guys are professionals. They don't get worked up on the crowd, and they don't this or they don't that. And Barry Melrose has come on the show for years and been a staunch proponent that he doesn't think much of home ice advantage. The 2017 run had me convinced home ice mattered. The 2018-2019 playoffs had me convinced it doesn't matter. Last year was in a bubble, so who knows? I'm not sure I believe that the fans are the biggest difference in the world. But I do kind of think that they think the fans are the biggest difference in the world. And after the crowd that they had in Carolina, maybe he is onto something.
I do believe it for two reasons. One, because they lost pretty bad. And so what else is there? And
well, don't tell
two,
me that, though.
No. Two, they haven't had that many fans in Bridgestone in a very long time. So I think that maybe typically in a normal season, home ice advantage may not play as big of a role as it does now, because having 12,000 fans in Bridgestone, having a packed house, that's, you know, that's old hat. We do that every weekend. We do that every Saturday night. But this is different. It's a playoff game in Bridgestone that's going to be as packed as it has been in a very, very long time. And it's in a playoff game that the Predators really shouldn't have even been in the first place at this point in February. Sure. So I do believe that they feel good better about coming back to on home ice than they would have maybe in a typical season.
I just kind of feel like if they believe it, maybe that will give them, because I'm not sure this team believes they can beat the Carolina Hurricanes.
But I also think if they really do truly believe that, then maybe the fans in Carolina did make that much of a difference.
See, I don't think it's the fans in Carolina that made that big of a difference. I think it's the players on the Hurricanes that made that big of a difference. I'm telling you, like, I know when a team believes and when a team doesn't believe. And last night, I felt like I saw a team that didn't believe. And I'm not one to sit here and question pro athletes and their work ethics when it comes to an individual game about whether or not somebody plays hard. Like, Arvidsson's driving me insane right now, But I don't question whether or not Arvidsson plays hard or Arvidsson's a good teammate or anything like that. Arvidsson cares. Arvidsson works his butt off. I do think, though, I have a hard time. Like, I don't think this team, this is just me. I think they went into game one thinking they could beat the Hurricanes. And I think in the middle of last night or at the end of last night, I felt like I saw a club that was scared. I think they were scared. I do. I think they were scared on the ice last night. And I told you that I went back this morning and I watched all seven power plays. And after the second failed power play, which was in the first period with 6:56 to go, Dougie Hamilton got called for interference. And after that, Eric Halla won the draw, but the Predators couldn't get it to anybody, so it floats on past the blue line, and they lose 20 seconds, and they have to tag up. Josi and Forsberg try to stick handle around the corner. It leads to that 2-on-1 with Trocheck. Great save by Saros. Tolvanen had two quick passes. Duchesne, though, double clutches on the second one. They had no high danger looks, and everything was on the perimeter. And after that, I don't think they ever looked the same on those power plays the rest of the night. I do think that, and maybe you're right, maybe their crowd had something to do with it. I felt like the Predators played scared last night in the third period. And I don't know if it's the size of Carolina. I don't know if it's the relentlessness of Carolina. I don't know if it's the fact that right now Carolina feels like they can do anything. Roughing, interference, tripping, hooking.
What's stopping them from doing those things?
Nothing, because the second the Predators go on the power play, you know, it's back to more offensive situations for Carolina. And that's my point. So maybe the crowd is the thing that they can hang their hat on to say, hey, we know with our crowd at Bridgestone Arena, we know they're going to take it to the next level. We know that everything that we're not going to say we're scared, but everything that we're scared about, we know that, hey, those fans will take care of it. I'm not saying that the fans will take care of it. I'm saying that I think they think the fans can take care of it, and that is a pretty strong weapon.
Do you think they played scared, or do you think they were just gassed in the third period? Because they, I mean, Carolina had them running up and down the ice, and so they got outskated consistently.
If you listen to the they played hard crowd, you'll hear people say that the Predators wore Carolina down, and I just don't believe that.
I
don't believe that. I mean, I watched the game, what I saw in the game, I didn't see that. I think they played scared. I mean, I think there are some guys that didn't play scared. I think there's other guys that, like, I think Eric Halla wanted to be fake tough guy last night. I don't think he's playing scared, but I think, like, Arvidsson, I think he was playing scared last night. Tolvanen, I think after a little bit, he was playing scared. Now, they need him. They need Tolvanen on the power play. Those passes and that shot, they don't have anybody else who can do it. So I know that he's a liability right now, and he's got to figure it out. But I don't think he's going to figure it out sitting on the bench. So I don't know what they do there, but man, I do feel like they played a little scared. That's just me. 615-737-1025. I see your text in the text line. We will get to those coming up next. 615-737-1025. Your thoughts. Stillman and Company, we are delivered by TriStar Moving. Again, we are hanging out at Social Furniture. Again, if you need furniture, this is your place out here in West Nashville. Again, their Memorial Day sale that they will deliver the next day and set up whatever is available in stock. They will get it to you quickly and up to 70% off retail. That's right, 70% off. Interest-free financing, no credit check, no money down. And again, you can enter to win. You've got less than 30 minutes, but you can enter to win those Preds tickets for Game 3 and the pair for Game 4. Stillman & Company, we're delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we'll be giving away something later on this hour as well. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
How small is the margin for error against a team like Carolina? And then, I guess to piggyback off of that, Ryan just said he's looking forward to the boost you guys get getting back home in front of the fans at Bridgestone on Friday. Do you think that can help you eliminate that margin or give you a little extra boost against them?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, playing at Bridgestone in playoffs is always fun, and with the amount of fans we're gonna have, it's definitely gonna give us an extra boost. And it's playoff hockey. There's not a lot of margin in for error. Both teams are playing hard, and like I said, I thought we played a good game 5-on-5 today. We had some good chances. I didn't think they had too many chances, and we just gotta get our special teams going. And I thought 5-on-5 was good.
That was Roman Josi. Hey, I thought 5-on-5 was good. We just got to get our special teams going. I just think it's
If I hear one thing about the dang 5-on-5 last night...
I feel the other way, actually.
You want to hear more about the 5-on-5?
No, I feel like the idea of, hey, we just got to get the power play going. They haven't had the power play going since 2019. You do realize that if you were an infant when the Predators could not get the power play going in 2019, which is the end of the 2018-ish year, that if you were a baby then, you are speaking legitimate words at this point. And they still haven't fixed
power. 2-year-old, do you know that's speaking legitimate words?
Oh, dude, 2-year-olds speak all the time.
Do
2-year-olds?
They?
Oh, yeah.
Because no, my child development
it's
is
really
off.
3-year-olds. It's really, because that's how long it's been, right? Like the 2018-19 season, that's 1 year.
Okay.
2020 is 2, and now this is 3. So it's really 3 years. So you got 3-year-olds that are like legitimately talking. Like, again, they're not.
All right.
They're not like, you know, dropping
they're,
literature.
I mean, they're not writing essays.
No, but they can actually like speak. And that is how bad this power play has been. And it's like they just brush it off. Like, yeah, hey, we got to fix the power play. Once we fix the power play, you know, I feel like we certainly are like, what? Like, no. It doesn't work like that. And so I get really frustrated when I hear that. I get very, very frustrated when I hear that.
It's frustrating because it
they don't have any answers.
Yes. And it kind of felt like a matter-of-fact thing. Like, yeah, we need to fix the power play. Okay, then fix it.
Right.
Do
like
it.
If you had
Do
a leaking
something
faucet
about
for 3 years,
it.
You and everything you tried didn't work, you how would you feel? And that's how
right.
I
and if you continue to not do anything about it, and like I'm not going to say that the Predators didn't, because they have done several things to try and fix it. It just...
Keep trying. Try
keep
new
trying.
Things.
Keep
They're running
trying.
Out of things to
and
try.
And benching Ellie Tolvanen isn't going to do it.
I bet they do it. What do we have? Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Caroline Fenton into the text line. What do we have?
We had a few texters say that they are on my side with the truth or comment. I also had someone tweet me and say, yeah, no, I got you. It's a thing.
Okay.
Continuing. One texter said, if you did a fantasy draft between Nashville and Carolina players only, how many Carolina players would you pick before you took a single Nashville player?
Okay, fine. Let's do it. Let's start. You go first.
Aho.
Okay, I'm going to go. If you're going to go with Aho, I'm going to go with Dougie Hamilton, although I do feel uncomfortable doing that. But I'm going to go with Dougie Hamilton second.
I think I'm going to go Jacob Slavin.
Okay, then I will take... I'll take Tara Vinen.
I will take UC Saros.
You're going to take a goalie?
Yeah.
Why?
Why not?
Because a goalie doesn't matter that much.
You're going to tell me a goalie doesn't matter that much?
How much did it matter last night?
How much did it matter in 2019 with Jordan Binnington and the Blues?
How much did it matter the first game? That's I mean, true. Like, the truth, like, the Blues had good players. Like, I, this
yeah,
idea.
Yeah, the Blues had good players, but if I already have Aho and... Slavin.
I think you can get a goalie, and this is maybe a much larger discussion. I think you can get a goalie anywhere.
Okay.
I mean, Cam...
Well, then don't take Cam, a goalie. I'm not...
Cam freaking Talbot is legitimately in a series with Marc-Andre Fleury. Cam Talbot is a backup, and Cam Talbot is outplaying Marc-Andre Fleury. Goalie is like running back in the NFL. Like, if you've got a good one, you love it, and you're like, that's our guy. And then... But, like, think about this. You know, think about all the cup winners and think about the guys that are always raising it, like Tampa Bay. Now, Tampa Bay's got a good goalie, but when you think of Tampa Bay, you don't think about goalie first. When you think about Washington, you don't think goalie first. When you think about Pittsburgh and the
well,
Crosby
I didn't
and
pick
Malkin,
a goalie first.
But that's
I picked a goalie third.
I'm just saying, I just think goalies are overrated. And I think this is something that we've got to realize with the Predators, which is the idea of, hey, we've got the goalie. If we've got the goalie, we feel great about where we're. Okay, you can feel that way. Talking about the Predators fans, like you can feel that way, but how many teams win the cup because of their goalie? And Jordan Binnington got red hot and was a huge asset in that Blues run for sure. And you could say the same thing about Jonathan Quick in 2012 and 14 with the LA Kings. So it does matter. But I guess for me, I mean, like you're allowing me now to take Nino Niederreiter or
if
you're
like
allowing
to.
Me to take Roman Josi. So like, that's probably where those two guys are. And then there's Pesci and...
Svechnikov.
I mean, we're at the point, once you get to about 5, you're probably getting to Roman Josi.
Right.
And that's probably a much bigger issue. I mean, here's the other thing, too. And I don't know what they're doing. They're giant.
Yeah,
like,
they're
when
huge.
You look at them next to the Predators, they're huge. Like, they are freaking huge. Somebody told me, and I don't know if this is true, they have one forward under 6 foot, and it's Trocheck. Like, and he's like 5'11". Now, again, I don't know if that's true. I'd have to go back and look it up, and I don't feel like doing it. But they are freaking huge.
And Preds fans.
They're so much big. They're so much faster than the Predators. You're like, if you're going to be that big, then how can you be that fast? But my goodness, they are freaking huge.
And Preds fans are just begging for a 5'6 player to get out on the ice. It's Rocco Grimaldi. I have seen so many texts, so many tweets, so many things of Predators fans just begging for Rocco Grimaldi, which I think is so funny when you look at, you know, Svechnikov and Aho out there who are mammoths. The texter followed up and said, so the follow-up to that would be UC Saros is our best player. That might speak to much bigger problems.
I told you, I just don't think you win in this league with goalies.
All right.
I just don't, like, I think you can win, like he can steal a series.
Yeah.
Like, Henrik Lundqvist, could, like, in his prime, could steal a series. You know, that kind of, Braden Holtby can steal a series. I think you win with high-end big boy forwards. I mean, yeah. I think that's where you win in this league.
And that's exactly what Carolina has.
They got them. They got
them. And they have a lot of them.
I mean, think about, like, some of the trades. They traded for Nino Niederreiter. They traded, I believe, for Trocheck. Like, they traded for a lot of these guys, and they traded for Dougie Hamilton. And it's like, why aren't the Predators making these trades? Why are the trades the Predators making for?
Predators got Erica Branson.
Wayne Simmonds, Mikhail Granlund, Kyle Turris. You see what I, Ryan Hartman. You see what I'm getting at. 615-737-1025. Carolines is coming up next. A good night for Carolines, by the way, last night.
It was.
Carolines is coming up next. I said we'll give something away, so you know what? Let's do it. I'm in a good mood. Who wants to go see Kings of Leon? Be caller 5 right now at 615-737-1025, and you'll win a pair of tickets to see the Kings of Leon at Ascend Amphitheater. That is Thursday, August 12th, 615-737-1025. Good luck to you for all of that. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. They support the Predators through thick and thin. I know this because I see that Hiller logo right there on the ice, and I see it right there on the heart of the practice uniform. Hiller loves the Predators, and they also love tax credits. Tax credits for energy-efficient home systems are back this year, and when you put Energy Star certified equipment in your home, you'll earn a tax credit with the IRS. This month, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical is helping you keep more money in your pocket and doubling your tax credit when you purchase select new HVAC systems or tankless water heaters, and they're offering special financing so you make no payments until next year. Visit happyhiller.com for all of the details. As always, happy you will be, or the service is free, and I can tell you that for sure because I use Hiller myself. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, proud supporters of the Preds and the Vols. Hiller, call the Happy Face Truck today.
First pitch to Acuna, swung on a high fly ball out to center field, way back there towards the wall. Braves are a winner.
Oh, that was so nice. Oh, that was so nice. Ronald Acuna Jr. home run saved me last night in Carolines. By the way, we had a lot of different games last night to get into.
I've just had the worst luck the past 2 days with a Ronald Acuna walk-off and a Jason Tatum 50-point game. I picked against both of them.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, we tied yesterday, both going 6-2.
Did you add my Grizzlies win in there?
I did. Okay. So I got the same Grizzlies win, so it didn't make much of a difference.
So cancels out.
But what screwed me, so you picked the Mets, I picked the Braves. We both picked the Lakers. I picked the Lakers minus 5.5.
Ooh.
They won by 3. So that one got
That'll
me.
Get ya.
And I would just like to state for the record that the one that I felt good about, the one that I said, hey, before we get out of here, let's throw this one up there. We both picked the Yankees. Guy ended up pitching a no-hitter. So as of right now, we're both tied this week at 11-7. And I currently have the 1-0 lead as far as the weeks are concerned. We're doing this by each week, and I'm already up 1-0. So, without further ado, unless, Ian, there's something else I need to tell the people about, it's time now for Carolines.
Get in on the action. Put the money on the mahogany. What's on tap on the sports books? It's time to break it all down with Carolines. Here on Stillman & Company.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
First of all, let me say shout out to Social Furniture for having us out here again. Their Memorial Day sale, 70% off of retail pricing, and they can set it up next day of whatever is in stock. Special thanks again, Social Furniture Memorial Day sale. They'll be giving away the recliner. You can come in and register to win. Their address, 5412 Charlotte Avenue, Carolina Forgers.
Come on down to Social Furniture. First off, we got Braves, Pirates. I'm going to take the Braves money line. Atlanta has Drew Smyly on the mound with a 5.23 ERA. He's won his past two starts, while Pittsburgh starter Will Crow with a 4.35 ERA has lost three straight games in his last three starts with the Pirates. The Pirates have lost 14 of the last 19 games. 12 of those losses came by multiple runs. And if I've seen anything from Atlanta in the past couple of weeks, it's that their offense is just really, really good. The bullpen sucks.
Bullpen's awful.
But that offense is really clutch. And as we saw last night with Ronald Acuna Jr., a really good offense can sometimes make up for a really bad bullpen. So I'm taking the Braves money line.
I'm going to go Pirates money line. I think the Braves bullpen is a mess. I think Drew Smyly stinks. What's next?
Leafs Canadians. I'm taking Leafs -1.5 because that's an obvious one. This is the first time they play in the playoffs since 1979, actually. So, fun little tidbit there. Toronto 7-1-2 in their last 10, and they have beaten the Canadiens in each of their meetings so far this year. Montreal finished fourth in the division. They've lost their last five games to end the regular season. And Montreal has Carey Price in net, and he currently has an .867 save percentage in his last four starts.
So Carey Price traditionally is one of the best goalies in the league. So I'm going to take the Canadiens +1.5.
All right.
I think it's going to be a close game. I think the Leafs probably are a little too cocky and arrogant. And don't forget, bad things happen to the Leafs in the playoffs. Canadiens +1.5. I still think the Leafs get it done.
Yeah, last time I picked the Leafs, the Senators beat them, but that's neither here nor there. We've also got Pacers, Wizards tonight. I'm taking Pacers +4. This is play-in tournament, yes. So I picked the Wizards to win. Who would they play? I don't remember who they played the other day.
Boston.
I picked the Wizards to beat Boston. Jason Tatum put up 50. That's neither here nor there. Bradley Beal has a hamstring issue, which we very much so saw against the Celtics on Tuesday. The Wizards have very rough rebounding. And I think that this game lies completely in Domantas Sabonis with the Indiana Pacers. He had 14 points, 21 rebounds, and 9 assists against Charlotte in their last play-in game. The Wizards have won all three of their meetings in the regular season. But with the injuries that the Wizards have and with Russell Westbrook just, like, not being good in the playoffs.
Oh, who told you that?
His stats.
I think I told you that the other day when I picked against him.
You did, but also his stats.
And you didn't listen. You didn't listen.
The Wizards had 100 points against the Celtics, and that was the lowest point total that they had since April 3rd against Dallas. So that's also what told me that Russell Westbrook just isn't very good in the playoffs.
I'm on the Wizards' money line. I think that the Pacers stink.
Okay.
To me, this is pretty simple. One I'm going to throw out there, I'm going to go with the Blue Jays' money line. This game, I believe, is being played in Dunedin, Florida, although it may be played in Buffalo. I don't know where the Blue Jays are playing.
I don't know this time of year.
The Red Sox are red hot, but the Blue Jays are freaking good. Steven Matz, a lefty, going out on the mound versus Nick Pivetta. Again, 5-0 versus 5-2. I'm going to go with the Blue Jays money line. The Blue Jays are -125. Give me the Jays tonight at home against the Sox.
Give me the Sox money line.
And that will do it for us. Special shout out. Thanks, Ian. Thanks, everybody else. Thanks to Social Furniture for having us out here. Thanks to Dylan for showing up. And for everybody else, Moneyline with Chase McCabe and Ryan Porth is next. We'll see you tomorrow live from Pete and Terry's at Bridgestone Arena ahead of Game 3. We'll see you at 2:00.